You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, a mental performance coach and a former professional hockey goalie. Join me for open conversations about mental health, mindset, and performance. Whether you're an athlete or coach, you'll discover a wealth of tools, resources, and insights designed to transform the way you play and lead. Let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. Now, as you may have noticed, this month has been all about amplifying the voices of amazing women in sport that are really just working to pave the way for the next generation of athletes. So I thought, what better way to tie off the month than by talking about the historic inaugural season for the PWHL, the Professional Women's Hockey League. But before we dive in, let's start with our pregame warm-up as always. So if you have not left a rating and review for the podcast, whether you listen on Apple, Spotify, doesn't matter, I would absolutely love if you would take a minute of your time to go ahead and do that right now. So you can hit pause if you want, or you can go and do this during this pregame speech. So again, this is really what helps the podcast grow and reach new listeners just like you, and that is the goal, to be reaching people who absolutely need to have these type of resources around mental performance and mental health. If you haven't already followed along on social media, you can do so by going to Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok, potentially going to be on Twitter moving forward. I don't really know, haven't decided yet, but all of the links are in the show notes, so you can go there to follow directly. And lastly, if you are an athlete and you want to step up your game, or maybe you are a coach and you really want to improve the experience that you're providing for your athletes, you can learn more at www.tailored-minds.com, or you can see the show note for the direct link. All right, so let's dive into the PWHL. I mean, for those of you who don't know, it's been absolute lights out season already in the inaugural year of the league. However, it might slip some people's minds, or maybe some people aren't really aware of everything that's actually gone into creating this way before the PWHL was ever even thought of being created. And so we have to go then all the way back to 2007 when the CWHL, or the Canadian Women's Hockey League, was formed, which was actually spearheaded by a handful of the players. And unfortunately, the league ended up folding in March of 2019. So actually, when I graduated university was in May of 2019, and I had actually planned to apply for the upcoming draft then, and then ended up, you know, finding out that the league was going to fold. So I wasn't really sure what I was actually going to do during that time. But there was another option, and that was the NWHL, or the National Women's Hockey League. So the NWHL was actually formed in 2015 and was later rebranded to become the PHF in 2021. So when I did graduate, of course, there was the opportunity to go and play in the NWHL. But unfortunately, very similar to the CWHL that had just folded, the opportunity to actually make a livable salary was not possible at that time. So I did receive an offer to go and play with the Riveters, but what they were offering me was basically like nickels and dimes and wasn't something that was going to be sustainable, even as a Canadian, just moving a little ways over the border to the US. And so that actually prompted my decision to go overseas and play in the professional leagues that are here. With the CWHL folding in March of 2019, this actually prompted the formation of a new group, which was the PWHPA, which again was founded in May of 2019 and was a nonprofit that was dedicated to advocating for the promotion of professional women's hockey in North America specifically. So trying to create a unified league for the best of the best. And again, there were some attempts at, you know, trying to be able to merge the two leagues, so the PHF and the PWHPA together. Unfortunately, those talks all fell through the cracks and were not able to be completed. So for those of you who are familiar with the PWHPA, then you'll remember that there were specific teams, and instead of having regular hockey leagues and schedules and seasons the way that we know, it was a little bit different. And so it was about kind of having these really great, amazing games sponsored by companies like Adidas and Harvey's. And they were trying to, again, spread that message of having professional women's hockey in North America and having it under one league and hosting the best of the best women's hockey. So I'll get into a little bit of like the growth that we saw in the PHF specifically after it was rebranded in 2021, but just to kind of fast forward a little bit, you know, the PHF was bought out in 2023 to become the lone standing pro women's hockey league, so which is now what we know as the PWHL. So this league was sold by this league. I mean, the PHF was sold to the Mark Walter Group and BJK Enterprises, who had been in collaboration with the PWHPA since 2022, trying to launch a new unified professional women's league. So just by looking at the history of what has happened prior to the PWHL, we can see that there is well over 15 years of hard work and dedication that was put in by many players across more than one league trying to create this unified league where women could actually have a livable salary, like actually be treated like pro players. And so it's really great to see the strides that we are now making and all of the success that the PWHL has had up to this point. But there has, of course, been many challenges that were faced, not just in creating these leagues, but also just for female hockey players in general. I think I've already touched on it a little bit, but compensation in the leagues prior have been nothing compared to what lies ahead for the future generations of women in the PWHL. Of course, you know, there's a lot more opportunities in the women's game. They've been increasing year over year. We see this not only at, you know, the youth levels, but we also see this at the university levels as well. And of course, we have seen it in the past during the PHF expansion to Toronto and then also to Montreal as well. So there is lots of opportunity, and I'm sure there will be much more opportunity moving forward as well. But it is worth noting that it wasn't until 2021 when the PHF announced that the salary cap was going to be doubled to $300,000. So players were starting in just a couple years ago to see the reality of what it might be like to actually have a livable salary, not having to work a job on the side or anything like this, not having to depend on sponsors or brand deals or anything like this. We started to see some good work, good process in 2021, and we actually saw even more in the 2022-23 season when the league announced that the salary cap was going to be raised to $750,000, which was actually more than double of the previous year. So on top of this, the players are going to get healthcare benefits and equity stakes in the teams as well. So lots of really great movement for women's hockey. The issue with the PHF was that it really struggled to attract top talent because a lot of players didn't believe in the sustainability of the league due to the business model, so money out versus money in, and they were constantly at odds with the PWHPA. So there was, of course, because of this, a lot of confusion for fans around who to follow, like where was the top talent. People were getting paid in this league, but not in this league. And so it made it a lot more difficult for fans to really buy in the way that we see now with the PWHL. So this new unified league provides not only a more sustainable opportunity for women's hockey, it also provides a lot more clarity for fans. And I know there's still so much growth that can happen here, of course. Moving forward and starting to look a little bit at the preparations leading up to the inaugural season, I do fully believe that the takeover of the PHF was not done in the best way. I feel like there could have been a lot more done to minimize the damage that was done to everybody in that league. And from a traditional hockey season viewpoint, I personally don't really understand why they couldn't have let the league continue for that year, giving the players the warning beforehand that at the end of the season, things were not going to be continuing with the PHF, but rather it was going to be taken over by the PWHL, and the inaugural season would have begun at the normal time of the hockey season in 2024-2025, which would have given the PWHL much more time to gather sponsors, to actually prepare, you know, teams. And like, I feel like there was a lot of letdown around the unveiling of teams, considering there's no like team identity to really gather behind at this point. Every team is just the name of the city. So, you know, I feel like there could have been some things that could have been different that would have, again, minimized the damage and would have also allowed for better preparation and lead up to the inaugural season. Because it's, for me, a little bit strange that we start in January and we're going into like mid-June. Now we're going to have what, maybe a month and a half to where players are going to be able to recoup and recover and then jump right back into another actual full season. So yeah, maybe not as much planning there as what could have or should have been done. But of course, I'm also not privy to a lot of the inside information, so I assume that there has to be good reasons for all of these things as well. So outside of that, you know, I do think it is worth highlighting that they actually put in the time and effort to make this league international from the start. So we actually have 14 international players in the league already. So this includes one from Austria, 5 from Czechia, 1 from Finland, 1 from France, 1 from Germany, 1 from Hungary, 1 from Japan, 2 from Sweden, and 1 from Switzerland as well. So I think that's already a really great start to this league and making it more international, and will continue to attract more of that international attention from leagues here in Europe, such as the DFEL, the EWHL, the SDHL, and even the Women's League in Finland, for example. But now let's take a look at the actual physical play, because I think the fans and those who analyze the game actually didn't really expect it to be as physical as it has been. And for a lot of people, this is a really big surprise, but for anybody who has any sort of connection to women's hockey, who's seen the game played before, they know just how physical and competitive that it can be. And so I'm really happy to see that the compete level and the physicality of the game is actually like turning heads, more or less. I also think that they've been really innovative, smart, and progressive with the rules. So now they're kind of utilizing highly debated rule changes that the NHL has been, you know, kind of looking at previously. So this would include the jailbreak rule, for example. So for anybody who is not aware, basically a jailbreak rule is just if your team has someone in the penalty box and you score on a shorthanded goal, then you break your teammate out of the penalty box, which traditionally has not been the case. Usually you have to serve the full 2 minutes of your penalty unless the other team scores against you, and then you get out early. Another one is the gold plan for the draft selection process. So I think that this is actually really great because it gives teams who are not playoff contenders more incentive to continue competing and battling, because who doesn't want to get those top spot draft picks, right? So basically, the first draft pick goes to the non-playoff team that accrues the most points following elimination from playoff contention. So again, incentive for them to continue battling because they want to get as many points as they can from the time they're eliminated from playoff contention till the end of the season. This way, they can have that first round draft pick. Some other notable features are the point system. So getting 3 points for a win, 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss, and 0 points for a loss. Lastly is the playoff format. So the top four teams of the regular season will move on to playoffs, which begin on May 6th for those of you who have not actually marked your calendars yet. But the first place team will have a 24-hour window to select its semifinal opponent. So they have the opportunity to choose between the third or the fourth place teams. So the playoff semifinals and championships are going to be played a best of five series, and the higher seed will have the home ice advantage for games 1, 2, and 5 in each series. And any games that require overtime will be decided by 5-on-5 periods until a winning goal is scored. So there's no 3-on-3 short overtime or no shootout. It's just playing straight until we find a winner. And outside of these notable features of the game itself, we are also seeing really great inaugural sponsorship deals coming forward. This includes one huge one with Barbie, which I'm actually really stoked about and didn't really expect to see this, but I know just how influential Barbies are for young gals, and that's really going to be helpful for inspiring the next generation. So that is absolutely amazing. And I don't think that Crayola is a sponsor per se, but I do know that they came out with a new color called Power Play Purple, which I thought was absolutely amazing, which is the color of the PWHL logo. So really happy to just see that there's so many positive movements going on in the league already.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly.
You know, we've talked about playoff formats. We've talked about some notable features in the PWHL compared to some traditional models and some sponsors. But it's also really worth noting the memorable moments, or let's talk about like the record moments already. So the inaugural game between Toronto and New York. Firstly, I had so many chills that entire game. It was, wow, what a moment it was, and I wish I could have been there in person, but really just amazing to see the turnout of all of the fans, like selling out crowds. It's been really great. Within the first 2 weeks, we had 2 attendance records. So the first one was at TD Place Arena with 8,318 people attending, and the second one was at the XL Energy Center with 13,316 fans. So already from the very beginning of this league, we are seeing that everybody loves women's hockey and there's so much more room for growth. Then we saw another record set at the Scotiabank Arena in February in front of 19,285 fans. So, yeah, people want women's hockey. I shouldn't have to keep saying it, but I will for the people in the back who maybe can't hear me so much. And yeah, looking forward, you know, we have the game in Montreal at the Bell Centre in April. They sold out in under 20 minutes, and that arena has a maximum capacity of 21,105. We're seeing that there's been tremendous growth already within the first 3 months of this inaugural season. So I'm really happy to see that this is going to be here for the long haul. Now, very quickly, let's take a look at some of the historic moments already. I mean, in an inaugural season, you know there's going to be a lot of firsts, lots of milestones. So let's jump in here. So our first draft pick was Taylor Heise. Our first goal was Ella Shelton of New York in the inaugural game against Toronto. And in the same game, we had our first shutout with Corinne Schroeder. So she stopped 29 shots in the first game. Honestly, I wasn't expecting the first shutout to come so early on in the year, but I'm super happy that we were logging firsts from the very get-go. First overtime winner was Hillary Knight of Boston, and our first hat trick was Grace Sumwinkle from Minnesota. And we, of course, have to acknowledge the 11-game winning streak from Toronto, which, fun fact, is not only the first winning streak in the league, but also is longer than any winning streak from the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have been around for at least 50 years, I think. So, already so much pride for our lovely fans from Toronto. Yeah, and another fun fact is most teams have full female broadcast teams, and there is a lot of focus on the DEI initiative in this league. So I'm really, really happy to see that not just for the players, but for those on the staff and those who are working behind the scenes to make everything possible, that there seems to be a lot of opportunity and a lot of growth already. And of course, so much more to come in the future. So, looking ahead, what can we expect? Well, I think it's safe to say that many fans already want teams in their cities, and this is highlighted by the PWHL Takeover Weekend that happened March 16th, 17th, with games being hosted in major hockey cities like Pittsburgh and Detroit. So, there's potential for some expansion, hopefully, maybe next year, if not the year afterwards. So, hopefully, that is underway very soon. But I'm also really looking forward to seeing how the teams are going to be branding themselves moving forward into the first full season of the PWHL. How are the teams going to be named? Are we staying with the same color scheme, I assume? You know, I think there's going to be a lot of hype around the unveiling of these team names and mascots and all of these things. And honestly, I'm really just excited to see how the game improves year over year. I'm so, so happy to see that this is now a reality. I know right now, maybe the average salary is around $55,000, I thought that I saw, maybe a little bit higher. And the minimum salary is around $35,000, with the highest paid players being around $80,000. So hopefully, with the more sponsors coming in and the more airtime that the PWHL is getting, then this will hopefully, of course, be reflected in the salaries of the players themselves as well. So this way, nobody has to work any sort of job on the side unless it's something that they really want to do. But girls are just going to be able to go to the rink and practice and train and just be themselves, be hockey players. And yeah, I know This is something that, of course, I wish that would have been around a little bit sooner, but I'm so, so happy that the next generation of women's hockey players has this opportunity and has all these amazing role models to look up to moving forward and has something to really strive towards. Because for a lot of the girls that are playing in this league, a lot of them grew up playing with the boys. A lot of them grew up getting changed in the referee's room. And a lot of them honestly didn't even know what pro women's hockey was because it didn't even exist. The only role models a lot of us had were those every 4 years at the Olympics, and that was it. So now all of these young next generation players are gonna have these amazing role models to look up to every single day and strive to be like these types of players. So I say all of this with this huge smile on my face, chills, of course, but I'm, again, so, so happy of all of the progress that I've seen so far, all of the progress that is yet to come, and I hope that this episode left you feeling very optimistic and excited about women's hockey as well. So, as always, if you have not left a rating and review for the show, please go ahead and do that now. This is going to help this episode reach more listeners just like yourself and to grow the podcast even more. And that's what we're all about here, is about growth. So thank you so much for listening and have a great rest of your week. I'll see you next Monday.